Howdy, and thanks for tuning in to the Homestretch Podcast. I'm your host, Chad Schmidt, and this is a Homestretch 101 snippet taken from a previously recorded conversation with a professional. You can check out our website, homestretch101.com, where you'll find links to over 100 videos to answer all of your questions when it comes to navigating assisted living and nursing homes. Thanks for tuning in and enjoy this snippet. It can become quite costly, not just financially, but emotionally, for the individual that needs to put their loved one in the care of a professional. And so what I'm curious about is, how is it that you guys are able to control and balance this emotional cost, the loved one, the decision maker, the power of attorney, the son, the daughter, is having to make, and the financial cost that is also associated with that care that that individual needs?
I would encourage all families to do their due diligence prior to going into a situation such as this, because most families, they have a very attractive price up front. It is just for that to have you commit to the community. And oftentimes, what they're charging you for is all you need. But as we know with the aging population, that the older you may get, some of the things that just happen to the body naturally is going to warrant more care. And the community that you ultimately choose, you want to know if they are either inclusive or if that community has service charges. I would tell you maybe 90% of the communities available to seniors today would have service charges, meaning if there's incontinence, there's a service charge. And the reason why they have to do that is simply if you have five residents or you have a community of 50, you only have 10% of that population that's incontinent, you only need X number of caregivers to meet that demand or that to accomplish that task. But in the event that you now have 50% of your resident population, so that 50 residents, 25 of them are incontinent, you won't be able to take care of the incontinent care for those residents with that same number of employees. You have to increase your caregivers. So there you have a higher labor expense. The way the community offsets that cost of the labor expense is simply by having the family pay an additional amount for that care. That's the way they are able to afford to bring those additional caregivers in. Now, the other question is, how does a community such as ours or other communities that specialize in palliative care accomplish taking care of all these needs with minimizing costs? Our communities are all inclusive. Now, simply, our model is based on having a healthy ratio with the help of our partners within the palliative team. We have the nurse practitioner that's monitoring the resident. They're anticipating the care. In the event that we even had to make the decision to increase our staffing ratio based on a resident that was in our care, our nurse practitioner would be able to actually forecast that for us. This resident who we were transporting with one person, they're going to be a two-person transport now. I just see some things that are coming, certain medications they're on. It's going to make them a little drowsy. Or maybe we're running some tests. They have blockages in their legs, and they have some generalized weakness that's going to affect their ability to ambulate. So we have nurse practitioners that are working really close with our property and giving us the answers to those tests prior to us actually having to do the care. And when that happens, we can make adjustments to our staffing ratios. We can increase them if need to meet that demand. But when you start a community off with a structure where basically you have a built-in 5-to-1 ratio to start with, there's not going to be many residents within your environment that you can't care for. It's just the model that we built. We didn't go for the huge property where you had one big living space that accommodated over 100 residents. We were very responsible and purpose in our design with building the four quads and staffing those with three caregivers and a med tech in each one of those quads, and then working really close with a nurse practitioner who comes in on a weekly basis, and then making sure any resident that needed more support, if they needed something, someone to strengthen their legs, or they needed some physical therapy or whatever it may have been, that nurse practitioner who was seeing this is now writing the orders to bring those palliative team members in to work with the resident. Now, the benefit of that, with the nurse practitioner being able to see that and these changes occurring, these other members of the palliative team that are being brought on board, they actually work with Medicare. If you need physical therapy to strengthen your legs so you can walk better, or it allow you to ambulate longer without necessarily having to be confined to a wheelchair, that's something that Medicare can pay for. Medicare pays for that if a doctor or nurse practitioner is actually writing the order for that. So us working with that palliative team and having a nurse practitioner working with us and writing those orders, now that expense is not passed off to the family. Medicare would actually cover that cost. The same thing with end-of-life care and when hospice comes on board. There's a lot of equipment that you need for someone who's on hospice services. Those may be oxygen tanks and nasal cannulas and BiPAP machines and suction machines and a specialized bed for when someone gets to the point they can't get out of bed. The medical director with the hospice agency, they're writing orders. Those services are actually covered by Medicare. So there again, you have an expense that's not passed on to the family. So I know that was a lot of language to answer that question about how do we minimize that cost. It is actually our palliative model that now puts the family in a position where they're not responsible for every detailed piece of care that their loved one eventually advances to or would need. Now we have a clinical team writing orders where Medicare is covering those advanced skills or services.
If that answer was beneficial to you, or you think it's beneficial to somebody that you know, consider sharing it and pressing subscribe on whatever platform that you're listening to this on. Until our next conversation, I wish you good health and eternal love. Have a beautiful day.